Let's pray. Lord, we thank you truly for the love which you do love us with, the love that we rely upon every day in our lives. We ask you, Lord, to mold and shape us. We ask you, Lord, to lead and guide us this day, that what it is we receive from you is from you, that it challenges us, that it encourages us. And Lord, may our life be yours, so that others may experience your love too. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Page 103 in your pew Bible, John chapter 14, verse 23 to 29. I'm gonna back up a moment here to 22. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word. And my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I like hobbies. I like the idea of hobbies. I mentioned this to you before because of how simple they can be or how complex that they can be. The same hobby for one person can be as easy as pulling the stamps off of the corner of a letter, putting them in a book, and keeping them. While that same hobby for another person could be scouring the world for all different kinds of stamps, learning the history behind the stamps, and all that sort of stuff. So it's what you make it. I think one of my hobbies seems to be collecting hobbies. I tend to do a lot of different things, never very deeply. But there is one thing that I think we can all agree on, something that we all do, and I think we all appreciate the fact that we do it. Wouldn't call it a hobby so much, but how many of you enjoy breathing? Yeah, breathing's nice. It's definitely noticeable when you can't do it quite as well as what you used to. When you get sick, do you know that there are different words we use to describe certain types of breathing, certain kinds of breathing? There's hyperventilating. All of you may know what hyperventilating, you know that one? How many of you have had to breathe into a paper bag at some point in your life? That helps. Helps because when you exhale carbon dioxide, but you also exhale oxygen. And so you're just reusing that oxygen that you exhale, and so you get more oxygen than what you normally would. So there's hyperventilating. There's deep breathing. How many of you know deep breathing? Just over and over again. Helps to calm the heart down a little bit, helps to settle the nerves. How about gasping? You understand gasping? How many of you had gasp at some time in your life? It's never a really good thing when you say that you have gasped at some point. It doesn't usually involve a good situation, oftentimes a bad one. Sometimes when you become afraid, you gasp. Or when you don't get enough air, enough oxygen, you gasp for air. How about sighing? It's a term for breathing, isn't it? Sighing. You know who sighs a lot, I found this year? Teenagers sigh a lot. When you tell them that they're not allowed to do something. This is a totally fictitious incident. It's not. It's totally true. But he's not here, so I'll tell you anyway. That was 1 minute. A couple minutes later. Brock, you're still not allowed to go out with your friends. Okay. And then he gets up, goes upstairs and sulks for the rest of the day. Teenagers, silent. We have a lot of words for breathing. And this scripture reminds me of that sort of nuance of breathing. Because right now what's happening is the disciples are up there with their teacher who's telling them that he's leaving. And I couldn't imagine in those moments at the telling them that he's leaving that their breathing changes. What? The gasping. I'm leaving you and you won't know where I'm going. But you should be happy for me, Jesus says, because I'm going to go with the Father. It's hard to be happy for people when they leave us. How many of you, this is a dangerous question because I realize we feel different about this. There's a very popular phrase, is a very popular question we ask other people in our lives is oftentimes, did you miss me? Right? You ever ask someone, I've asked people, did you miss me? And what do you want to hear when you say, did you miss me? You want to hear a yes. But what does it mean when someone misses you? They long after you. They want you. It was painful without you. You want their misery. When you ask someone, did you miss me? You want them to feel miserable when you're not there. But Jesus is saying, don't mourn. Be happy that I'm going to the Father. This is a good thing in life. Then he says something in this scripture that I've latched onto throughout my life, something that's always given me hope and peace. Jesus said, I'll give you peace, but not as the world gives to you. How does the world give to us? The world gives temporarily. You know, the world writes a lot of unwritten promises to us. And they're not easy to take. When we have a child, what's the unwritten promise of that child? That we will die before that child does. Every parent wishes that. Every parent wishes that their child will have a long, wonderful life. A life that will continue after they're gone. That promise isn't always kept. When you're standing at the altar, looking at that person that you love, making the vows till death do us part, with a 51%, maybe 52% now divorce rate, that's another unwritten promise that the world breaks. When you go into a career and go to schooling, be it tech school, be it college, you have this passion for whatever it is, and you're super excited for it, and you can't wait. Your thought is, once you go into that profession, that what? You'll retire from that profession. But with the amount of layoffs and turnover, it's another unwritten promise that the world breaks. The world breaks all kinds of promises. And how do you breathe during those promises that get broken? A lot of sighing going on. A lot of gasping happening. Some hyperventilating. And it's hard to remain calm and sure in a world that takes away its promises. But Jesus, as he was leaving, he says, I'll give to you an advocate. The Holy Spirit, who will speak in my name, and I will give you my peace, but not as the world gives, but a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that lasts forever, a peace that we know comes from one who is greater than anything this world has to throw at us. I experience, many of you know this already, experience one of those unwritten promises that the world breaks. Many of you know that Elijah was a twin, and the other twin was Sammy. Sammy died 9 days after he was born. If you ask Stephanie, I think she says 11, so we're not exactly sure where that is. But regardless, it wasn't very long. It was heartbreaking. Very difficult time. Our breathing wasn't all that great during that time. But the scripture, the Lord gives peace, not as the world gives. We had that peace during that time. It wasn't an easy peace. It was just the knowledge that in the midst of this terrible, most difficult time, that we'd be okay. That the Lord would be with us and give us what we need to get through this time. There's nothing medically that could have been done for Sammy to help extend his life. There was nothing medically that could have been done to help to give him a good life. And so we had to come to terms with that in that moment. But there was always that peace, the knowledge that God's got this. Not that Sammy would live, but that God's got this. And I'm sure if you turned to one another and started talking to each other about moments where you've experienced that peace, you each probably have some stories like this. That things aren't going to turn out the way you hope they will. But you know, in the midst of it, God's got this. And that you'll be okay. And that you'll be able to handle it. And that even in the midst of it, there will be able to be moments of love being seen. Strength being given. And peace experienced. This is one of the last things that Jesus told his disciples as he was leaving, because he knew that they would not be experiencing peace in these moments. That there would be confusion, pain, heartache, and even disappointment. That it's not turning out the way they want. But Jesus wanted to tell them, my Father's got this. You'll be okay in the midst of it, and you'll be able to come out on the other side of it. Be happy for me, because I go to the Father. This scripture has given me a lot of strength in difficult times. But how easy it is to forget. I pray that throughout our life together and with one another, that we rely on the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to remind us of this truth that God's got this. But also that we remind one another when we're going through difficult times, God's got this. It may not turn out how you want, but God's got you. God's got you. So I pray that we're able to hold on to one another and trust in God, not only for today, but for tomorrow. Because God's got this, and we thank God for that.